Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou, welcome to another edition of Red Alert Radio. To your host here today, Shane Henderson. So I'm the Labor-elected chair of the Henderson-Massey Local Board. And usually I talk a lot about local government issues and I kind of rabbit on about stormwater and roads and all the cool, interesting stuff that I'm sure you guys really like to hear about. But today we've got a really awesome, really special guest here today. My guest here is Brooke Loader. And the topic for today we're going to be talking about just general issues within the Māori law world with an eye towards the Criminal Justice Summit that's also on today. So, Brooke, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and just tell us kind of what you do.
Hi, Shane. Thanks so much for inviting me to speak on the show today. It's great to be able to chat about the issues that really matter to us and the wider community. My name is Brooke Loader and I'm Principal of Loader Legal, and I've been working as a specialised Māori issues local government lawyer for the last 8 or so years. So over the course of my practice, I've had quite an exposure to these issues that you're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks for having me here today.
That's right. It's really cool to be talking to someone that's a bit of an expert on these matters and sort of lives and breathes this stuff all the time. So you practice in the Māori sort of law world. What's your own connection to the Māori world as well? Maybe talk us through your whakapapa.
Yes, so my whakapapa leads me up to Ngāpuhi. So my hapu, a couple of Ngāpuhi hapu up there. We've got Ngāi Te Waki, Ke Wauku and Te Uri Ohua. We're based around the Matarawa and Kaikoi area, which is the seat of Te Tai Tokoro. So I'm very proud to be representing them, not just in terms of myself and my family, my whakapapa, but also to be able to use the skills that I have acquired over the last few years to be able to serve and help the Māori people.
That's right. Kaikoi, beautiful spot in the world as well, isn't it?
Mm.
Good, good. So we'll start off with something a bit more general. So maybe what are some of the big issues for you in kind of the Māori legal world?
So Māori have a very special relationship with the government and with the Crown, thanks to the Treaty of Waitangi that was signed back in 1840. And since then, there's been a real drive for a partnership between Māori and the Crown. And so, as you may be aware, under the treaty, the Waitangi Tribunal has been established through the Treaty of Waitangi Act in 1975. And since then, we've been working together with the Crown to try and address a whole lot of the both historical grievances, but also a whole lot of different contemporary issues that have arisen as a result of the Crown's obligations under the treaty. So up until quite recently, the focus of the Waitangi Tribunal has been around the addressing historical grievances through its district inquiry framework, and that's where it's been looked at region by region, working with whānau, hapū, iwi groups to look at all of the issues that have been faced since 1840. So that there ranges from a whole lot of different grievances, from land issues, but as a spin-off of that, it leads into a whole lot of different social and economic issues, which leads us to today, really. And so that's the purpose now that we're shifting from this historical grievance setting to a point that we can now address real contemporary issues. Currently, some of the contemporary issues that we're facing, and the one most recent that I've been involved with, is the Y2358 water hearing, so water and geothermal inquiry. So that there is having a look at the relationship in terms of rights and interests to both geothermal resources and also fresh water issues. That was heard down in Wellington last week. It was week 3 of stage 2 of that inquiry, where we got to hear from a lot of witnesses, both from the Crown and from major stakeholders such as Iwi Leaders Group and other interested parties from the Māori world, in terms of addressing this real issue of what rights and interests we have in freshwater today.
That's quite cool that it's really growing and evolving over time. And where, as you say, we're moving from a place of addressing historical issues and addressing the current contemporary issues, which, you know, people still live and breathe today. And of course, those two things are not two different categories. They're very much intertwined together. I just wanted to kind of just step back and have a bit of a chat about the Māori, the treaty claim process. There is a misconception out there in the public, I'm sure, about what this process involves. So maybe if you sort of have a bit of a chat about how that happens and what people should know about that kind of situation.
So the treaty process fundamentally is the independent body that we have here in New Zealand that is unique across the world, where both Māori and the Crown can come together to look at the issues that have arisen as a result of breaches of the Treaty of Waitangi. Now, these are breaches of the principles of the treaty, and major principles that you may have heard of are those such as consultation and partnership. And these are principles that we in New Zealand legal system try to interweave into all of our laws and regulations as a result of this very unique treaty partnership that we have. And that is where the Waitangi Tribunal comes in, because this is the platform where Māori and the Crown can come and address these issues. So in terms of some of the misconceptions around that, you were saying, Shane, it's really not a process to be afraid of. It's a real opportunity for Māori of any size, really. So for anyone from an individual up to iwi level organisations become involved in the process, and they bring to the Waitangi Tribunal any issues that they do have. A current example of this is the Kaupapa inquiry into healthcare disparities. So currently we have a nationwide healthcare inquiry, the Y2575 inquiry, that's looking into disparities in healthcare systems and outcomes. It's a well-known fact that Māori are overrepresented in a number of areas, healthcare being the main one of them. And under this process, Māori healthcare organisations, groups, and individuals can come before the tribunal to have these issues recognised, so that we can put forward a possible solution to be able to fully address these disparities.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic work. And it's really cool to hear your passion around this work as well, because it's obviously very important. And you kind of remind me of not just the responsibility to redress past wrongs and past grievances, but also actually if everyone was to stand back and look at our country and the situation, it's actually in everyone's interests that we should be moving forward together, and we should all have the same opportunities to get ahead in life for yourself and your family. And that's very much what the Labour Party's brand and our kaupapa is built on, right? So this is very much something that's really active, and it's really cool to hear, as I say, the passion and things are moving forward. So you said that this was a unique process in the world. I remember watching a documentary recently around the African-American situation in the US, and how there are huge gaps in that society. And the answer that this documentary was saying was that reparations is the process to get people back on their feet. This seems to be something we're trying here in New Zealand and have done for a long time. So do you think that this is... struggling to think of my question here, but the way forward here in terms of redress and reparations, do you think we're on the right track?
So a key component of what we do look at in the Waitangi Tribunal is what we can do to remedy these past wrongs. And of course, the real question is to go back to the groups involved and ask what can be done to basically restore them. And if you're talking about it in terms of the Māori world, you're really looking at the restoration of mana. So in terms of the concept of mana is all about... the person, it's quite hard to describe, but it's about the person in the group and their worth. And it's important to restore that, to be able to have a true sense of health and well-being in terms of your Māori identity. So part of the reparations process does go towards trying to make efforts to restore the mana, not just the mana of the organisations or mana of the hapu or iwi involved, but also the mana of the individual. Because just linking it back to personal well-being, we've got the case currently where we've got Māori that make up only 16% of the general population, but there are 51% of the prison population that constitute of Māori. And so in terms of the impact of this whole process, it doesn't just affect the person mentally, physically, but it affects families and lives, and these issues really need to be addressed. Money isn't always the answer, reparations you could say, but ensuring that that organisations have got the support that they need to be able to bring more of an equity, not equity meaning bringing everybody up to that same standard. You know how we talk about in the Labour Party how everybody deserves a right to a house. You've got to have shelter, you've got to have food, you've got somebody to love, someone to care for, something to care about. All of that is part of this whole restoration process, giving people things to be able to care of, to empower themselves, to make themselves better. And because Māori have basically been on the back foot since the imposition of that colonial colonisation, it is a definite opportunity to be able to bring forward that equity.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Because as you say, it's not just about throwing money at the problem, but it's also solutions that are designed by the Māori community, for the Māori community, and with that, with correct tikanga and protocols and things like that in place, right? And so with this treaty process, do you see that as part of the process, that it is very much in line with the Māori worldview?
The unique thing about the treaty process is that we do try to make it in line with the Māori worldview as much as possible. So in terms of the process itself, it's not as intimidating, say, as your standard court setting. We are often on marae all about the country. So
it's kind of a bit rowdy.
So many different things. I mean, there's quite a lot of dialogue, you could say.
Robust dialogue.
Yeah, robust dialogue. I do recall one funny instance of being with a client who was having the historical claim heard, and she went up and actually gave the judge a kiss at the end of it and a big hug. And that's part of the wairua of it. Yeah. It's part of tikanga to be able to have this act of engagement and dialogue. So it's really not what would be conceived as the conventional court setting. There's a lot of tikanga involved. We always open up with karakia and we waiata. We've got songs close with the karakia. We always manaaki both ways. So manaaki means, you know, have that social bonding time, you could say, with food and cups of tea and things like that between. But also at the heart of it, there's some serious issues that we do deal with. So it's important to be addressed in a te ao Māori setting. And so they are quite unique.
That's really cool.
of working within the Waitangi Tribunal. And of course, there's a real sense of connection for me personally with this whole process, because I've got both Māori and Pākehā whakapapa, and I'm proud of both. But I see my role as a treaty lawyer who works in the Waitangi Tribunal, also another Māori issues, post treaty settlement issues. I also work with local government and environmental matters, etc.
Thank you.
As well as Māori land as well, and trusts.
Yeah.
So in that, there having that, I see my role really as being the bridge between Te Ao Māori and our New Zealand legal system. That's come in and being that connection between the two. So I think it's quite a special role for me to be fulfilling.
Yeah, it sounds like there can be some really fun parts too. I mean, I used to be a lawyer, and I wish that our court hearings were like that. It sounds like a really great way to conduct things. Because the other thing is that it's not only really culturally appropriate, as you've said, but it puts people at ease. You know, that's very important when we're talking about sensitive issues, of course, right?
Most definitely. With the Waitangi Tribunal, we deal with so many sensitive issues.
Yeah.
And it's, for example, last year at the Hokianga hearings, when I was working at my old law firm, through Tamata Law, we had a client who was dealing with coronial issues, issues in which is effectively where their family members were involved in a process that wasn't tikanga compliant, and they weren't. One of their family members had passed away. Some body parts weren't returned to the family, and so of course you've got to have a setting where it can be a real place that people feel comfortable in expressing themselves. And so of course, as a result of that, the whole aim of it is to try and change that section of our law to be able to make that more treaty compliant. But it's necessary to have the Waitangi Tribunal to be able to have that safe area for those types of real big issues to be discussed.
Cool. Mm. I think we could talk about this all day, right? Mm. This is great.
Yeah, you reminded me of the current work schedule, you could say. So on my horizon at Lode Legal, we've got some work in what is the next Kaupapa inquiry, which deals with housing issues. Our current government is leading a large inquiry into homelessness and housing, and this is great that my Labor values resonate with the work that I do through Lode Legal in addressing these big issues. But it's a look into Māori disparities in housing, in particular the homeless issue, and also the Housing New Zealand system. We're also looking at manawahine. Now, manawahine is the role of females, so Māori females in particular. So that will be bring up some really hard issues, I think, as we get more into that.
Cool. That just sounds like fantastic work. That's really, really cool. In terms of the homelessness, I know it's something that has been something that Labor Party have campaigned on, and it's very important to both of us personally, as well as many of our friends and colleagues. It's really upsetting to see, as you know, I represent Henderson Massey, and we've gone from basically no homeless when I was growing up in Henderson to a population of over 100 at last count. We have another count coming up soon. And many of those homeless populations are actually Māori and are from a history over a long form where they didn't have to worry about homes and worry about their place in the world. And so that's particularly upsetting. And it's really great that the government are getting involved and getting into this situation.
And also at the local government level as well, I stood as the candidate in Manurewa for the Manurewa Local Board under Labor, and that was a huge issue that I campaigned on too. I had the Minister of Housing out there to see the devastation in our community. I spent days talking to homeless on the streets and addressing this real issue in the same way that you have in your area out in Henderson, Shane. So I do appreciate that sentiment.
That's right, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that. Because, I do, at this point, I always have to give a shout-out to my main man, Grant Wilson, and Te Whanau Waipareira, who do fantastic work in my hood around this stuff. One of the initiatives that they really drove in that community, and I'm really proud that the local board could fund that, and sort of help out with that, is to get our homeless community into the world of carving. Now that's giving them a sense of purpose and a sense of self-belief, but also it goes back to the Māori kaupapa and their sense of belonging as well. It's created some really great results, so this might be some of the things that we could be looking at even at a national scale. I think that'd be really cool. Quite apart from the homelessness topic, I thought we'd kind of just come back a little bit to, you're saying you're involved a lot in the healthcare disparities between Māori and non-Māori. So can I just ask, if we're talking about healthcare disparities, what kind of ways are our Māori community falling behind?
Now, this is kind of a sad topic, really, because if you pick any statistic, and we've done studies across the board on this, Māori are left behind. There is a huge discrepancy between that Māori. You can basically pick one, and there will be a Waitangi Tribunal claim that's been filed about it with all the statistics, in terms of those disparities, and where exactly in the system that it's faulting to cause this. All statistics, even Māori maternal health, really, although in terms of those statistics, Māori are do we have more successful birthing rates?
That's good.
that's the only one that I found that was a positive, really. But everything else is falling far behind. Well, is there one topic in particular you want me to talk about? Because
I think that's answered it pretty well. My gosh.
Yeah. For example, one of them that has been filed by co-counsel Grant Hewison and David Stone addresses alcohol and the issuing of alcohol licences and the impact of alcohol on Māori whānau, effectively. Yeah. And that there, another similar matter that we were dealing with around the same time with that group was trying to stop the issuing of a liquor licence to a particular group called Ka Pai Kaiti, and they were the main ones involved. And so we were successfully able to advocate for the stopping of that issuing of that liquor licence in Tokoroa, which is great because we need to reduce harm in our community, and we've got a huge amount of alcohol harm and gambling harm, and this is across the country. And I'd like to bring it back to my home ground of Manurewa too, of course. Yes. Gosh, during that campaign, you door knock the streets and of the local businesses, and it's the top of the business owners' minds. We've got 7 liquor outlets within a 1K radius. And do we really need that much alcohol available for ready consumption? What's it like out in your area?
Well, I think there's only so much that I can actually comment about that due to my position. But I can say that if you leave alcohol supply to the free market and you just let them run amok, then these are the sort of things you're going to see. So some form of control is generally a pretty good thing, and these things are working their way through council as well. So all across Auckland, we're looking at various ways to restrict supply, as well as other things. So reducing alcohol harm, as you know, this is something that I'm very passionate about as well. So
in Manurewa, you can get single serve cans of alcohol. It's very cheap, readily available. We've got liquor outlets that are so close to stores that are connected to gambling, to pokie machines, and it's a really predatory setup when you are set amongst some of the most vulnerable in our society.
Yeah, and these sort of things can really feed into the homelessness as well as the health outcomes. We experienced in West Auckland a huge spike in synthetic cannabis use about 3 or 4 years ago, and we were successful eventually in reducing that harm. But our homelessness population has basically stayed the same since then. We were seeing people buying drugs, then the very next day begging for money for more drugs. And these people really need help, you know, so this is the sort of inquiry that we really need. So this is fantastic work.
Most definitely. So it seems that for one point in our history here in New Zealand, we've got a convergence where we've got the government, the Labor government, who has a genuine concern to address these issues in housing. We've got Māori calling through the Waitangi Tribunal to make sure that these inequities are addressed through the Waitangi Tribunal, which I'm extremely excited about. And we've also got our council here, the Auckland Council, who are leading initiatives in homelessness. I'm looking forward to September. In September, I'll be involved in the homelessness count, which will be taking place across Auckland. The purpose of that is to basically find out how many people are actually homeless. And of course, bearing in mind that homeless doesn't just mean on the streets, you could be living in the cars as well. And there's also issues with overcrowding, so overcrowded homes where people are pushed out because there are too many people in the homes. So it's really a stock take, I'd hate to put it like that, but a real assessment, because we have to know how many people are homeless before we can look at addressing issues of homelessness and trying to allocate the resources, such as the number of quality beds and wraparound social services, to be able to move these people from being in that category of being homeless, and rather than just managing it, solving it by putting them into quality, warm, dry housing.
Fantastic. My goodness, we've only got about 5 minutes to go on the show. It just seems unfair to be wrapping up such a topic. But I think within the time we have available, we do just need to touch on the criminal justice side of things. And what's really sparked this conversation is in the paper today, a headline which basically said that the government are committed to reducing Māori criminal justice offender rates and people locked away in prisons, but there's not going to be a target on how many, on what the prison numbers are and what we're going to cut. So I'm just wondering what your comment is on that.
There's huge overrepresentation of Māori in our prisons, as I spoke about earlier. We've got so many issues with our criminal justice system that can't be addressed by just slapping a target on it. These issues really need to be wānangered about. We need to talk about it. We need to figure out what the actual issues are before we can address it. So I do applaud the approach that's been taken by Andrew Little at the Criminal Justice Summit by not specifically allocating a target in terms of looking at that reduction, but really taking a restorative approach towards justice. So moving from these punitive measures where people are just punished and beaten down. You've got examples like, Kelvin Davis, who spoke about his somebody that he knew, he went into the system at 10 and came out a broken person. You can't do that without effective rehabilitation. We've got issues with the bureaucratic side of prisons as well, as has been highlighted in the media. And I'd like to give an example of my uncle, Mr. Higgins. He is actually working out of one of the prisons up north. He is one of the senior prison officers there who's working alongside the senior prison staff there to develop an effective program for people in prison to be able to empower them, like you were saying earlier.
That's
and give
amazing.
Them a purpose
yeah.
That is far reaching beyond these punitive measures of, oh, let's just lock them in jail for a certain amount of time, and actually giving them the self-worth to be able to contribute as valuable members of society. Now, we need to make sure that our government fully supports these types of restorative programs so that we can see a real reduction and not just rely on numbers.
That's right. And I couldn't agree more. I thought that was really well put, Brooke. Thanks. The thing is, if we wanted to reduce the prison numbers by a certain target, all we need to do is unlock the doors. And then they'll be out. But you're not really going to make any change in our country unless we're reintegrating people back into the community, giving them a sense of hope and a sense of purpose again, so that when we let people back out from prison, then they're staying out of prison and actually they're contributing to society and most importantly to their family and their family life. And so this really much accords with what Labor are trying to do, and I think that's really, really exciting. It's something that we've dreamed of for a long time. And eventually we'll have a much safer country. Yeah, do you think that's fair?
Yes, definitely. It is really bringing back that tikanga Māori approach too, in terms of, and this is a real manawahine thing. It's myself, a Māori female, about embracing in wrapping your arms around the person and restoring them their mana back so they can be proper contributing valued members of society and have that as part of their own self-worth so they can be better for their own, for their families and for the wider community.
That is fantastic. And we could probably talk about this all day, but we should be wrapping it up there. We're just about to finish our show. So just a big shout out there to everybody. And thank you. And Brooke, you said you were on Loader Legal?
That's right. So Brooke Loader Legal, I can be contacted on 0225 0436.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brooke. If you've got any issues, then feel free to have a chat to her. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.